Picture. Rick Adams is on.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. That's me, folks. A Friday night edition of our program, Rick Adams, uncensored here on Republic Broadcasting Network to the whole world, folks. And, you know, Monday night we'll have a rebroadcast on the holiday on Christopher Columbus Day, and we will be off. We'll have a good rebroadcast and another planned, very interesting, busy week next week. And don't forget to spread the word, to tune in. Tonight, I wanted to incorporate two programs, 1 hour each, on religious themes. And, of course, the first one is going to involve not just the religious themes, but also alternative talk radio. And we're going to be talking about the assault on Christian America, the assault on our freedom, the assault on our liberties, on the Internet, and much more. Ted Pike will be coming up shortly, as soon as we have him. And we also have some more questions for Ted. And in the second hour, Eli James will be coming back. He requested to come back for a bit to talk about an upcoming event that he has planned. And this question that we were on the last time about America's roots and whether, in fact, they were Christian or not. So, with having said that, as soon as I get the okay, we will bring up Mr. Pike, Ted Pike. Do we have him, Dan?
Now, Rick, I'm here.
Okay, all right. Hi, Ted. How
Hello
are you?
There.
Okay, very good. Truthtellers.org. It's been a long time, very long time, as you know, Ted, since we have been talking on any particular issues, and yet there have been many issues, as you know, not the least of which is the fact that we didn't bring you up at the time, but the war between Alex Jones and people such as yourself named directly, I guess, who named him in this concern about who's serving whom and how come Mr. Jones has been very silent on Israel and very defensive of Israel and Zionism, and then even lashed out and began to attack those who criticize this plague of Zionism and so forth. So I thought we should pick up with that first, because we have not discussed it with you at all. And why don't you tell us a little bit, before the break, exactly how this whole thing began, really. Did you launch the first arrow here?
Well, I think I did. I was at watching some videos, which were clips from his radio TV program, and I was quite impressed in one video that I watched at his extensive knowledge of the Jewish Zionist threat. And he was expressing his anxiety, his double-mindedness, and his impatience that he personally was not speaking out on the Zionist threat as he should. And so for some 10 minutes, he described a wide variety of Zionist threats and problems from the Middle East and to America and so on. And I found it quite amazing that he's not speaking out the whole truth.
Right. Okay. We'll come right back to that point. And folks, we're talking with Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Rick Adams, uncensored. We'll be right back.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on.
Ouch. Back now with Ted Pike in the first hour here. And Ted, you've just given a brief introduction to the first salvo in this debate with Alex Jones, and how you first made observances about some of his own personal interest in and knowledge of the issues about Zionism and Israel. And then what happened?
Well, I pointed out that he he was speaking quite forcefully in criticism of Israel for its nuclear capacity, over 400 nuclear bombs, he said, as well as spying on the U.S., control in Congress, enticing America into wars in the Middle East for purposes of protecting Israel. And what I pointed out was that this outburst, 10-minute outburst, is not typical of what he is saying or has been saying for literally for years. Instead, he has been concentrating on lesser conspiracies, tentacles, if you will, of the Jewish supremacist octopus. And I just told him in the first, what I called an open letter to Alex Jones, that the time has come that he has to speak the whole truth. He's kind of like a scout for the wagon train. The scout goes out in front of the wagon train, and the scout must be trusted to tell exactly what he sees out there in Indian territory, possible ambushes, on and on. And if we can't depend on him to speak the whole truth, then he's speaking half-truths, and I pointed out that half-truths are basically lies, because they give the impression of telling the whole truth, and in doing so, they inoculate the people against further the seeking for that whole truth. And I said that's what he's done. And then a few days later, I wrote another one in which I just came out, and I told my audience that when I had been on Jones's program, he had instructed me not to criticize Israel or the Jews, because he said he has so many new affiliates, mainline affiliates. He's gotten so big that he can't do that anymore. And told me that he would have me on quite a few more times, especially to warn about hate laws and so on, but only really according to those conditions of basically a gag order from speaking the whole truth about Zionism.
Oh, it wasn't as if he was saying you can't speak about Israel. He was saying you can't tell the whole truth about Israel, essentially.
That's right. He actually said I could discuss ADL as the root source of hate crimes laws worldwide. But he made it clear that he would not allow me to speak out specifically in criticism of Jewish matters in the sense of their religion and Jewish media control and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote a third letter, I think it was about a week later, in which I had done some more research, watched some more videos, and lo and behold, he has a 10-minute video that in which he is really blasting of the those whom he says are Israel bashers on the right and the left. He calls them scum. It's a violent tirade against those, he says, hundreds of thousands, literally hundreds of thousands of his listeners and people in the far right, especially the populist right, are out to get him. And he's very antagonistic, very abrasive, using really gutter language to describe us, those of us who are very burdened, very concerned about Israel's deplorable human rights record going all the way back to 1948 when they violently expelled 800,000 Palestinians from their farms and orchards and lands in Israel. He didn't make any distinction between those who support Israel unconditionally and those who bash Israel. I mean, I can imagine there might be people who would descend into vulgar anti-Semitism and criticizing Israel, but he made no distinction. It was just all the Israel bashers. He said that they are basically crazy. He's sick and tired of them. He deplores them, basically. So that's what my third article dealt with. And all three of these articles had a tremendous play on the Internet, averaging between 50 and 70 websites and blogs put them up. So it was.
Now, let me ask you this. What was the kind of feedback that you received as a result of that e-alert?
99% favorable, congratulating me. There was virtually no support for Jones coming in, and many. I think I probably got more emails off this issue than anything.
Really?
Since maybe the crisis moments in passing the federal hate bill.
What's interesting about it, Ted, is that we've talked about it pretty openly in recent days on this program since it's come up, and I was forced to reveal how Alex Jones did try to several years ago, as you know, when there was this revelry going on at RBN and there were attempts to bring it down. People were leaving, and Alex Jones was one of those with Anderson, who were trying to help bring it down and destroy the network, and how he personally tried to get me to leave and wean me out of here with incredible vigor. And I questioned that, and I felt that God was telling me not to do that. He was telling me to resist this temptation, and that's exactly what I did. And I know that it was very unconscionable in what he did, and I said so. I said I did not feel comfortable, and I didn't like speaking behind anybody's back, John Stadtmiller's back, and I wouldn't want anything to do with it. And so I rejected it, and I was very happy that I think God had directed me to do that. And at that point there, I realized exactly what I was dealing with. Someone who is not honest, you know, someone who is not truthful, someone who is just not dealing with facts and has an agenda himself. So that was one issue. But here's the issue that really gets me. And I think this is the telltale sign. And this is the work that we have done. A number of our people who appear as guests on this program, intelligence experts, authors, people who are in the military, people who have had experience or some close attachment to 9/11, have noticed that Alex Jones will not name the real culprits. He will not name those who orchestrated 9/11, and they are all Israeli, Jewish, dual loyalists. We have the timeline, we have the flow of information that shows, no question, shows that Israel was the architect of the Likud party and Bibi Netanyahu's party and group that were able to pull off 9/11. So instead of telling us that, instead of revealing that, knowing that that's the case, he immediately attempts to detract attention from it. And that's where the name-calling has come in. Nazis and all sorts of crazies, sure, and all sorts of things like that when he knows better. So that in itself should tell somebody something about the kind of program that he's done and the kind of empire that he's built. That's the thing that is so distressing. I mean, it's one thing if he just said, look, I don't want to play up this Jewish supremacy issue on the program. I could understand that, okay? I could even deal with that. But when it comes to deliberately ignoring the real timeline of 9/11, who benefited from it, who carried it out, all of the evidence leading to the same culprits in the PNAC documents, in which he's referred to on numerous occasions, knowing that it was not Arabs or Muslims that pulled off 9/11, that in itself became evident that he was hiding something. And that's, yes, the part that I think bothers a lot of our listeners, a lot of people.
Well, I think one of the parts that bothers me most, and I did point this out in my open letter to him, is that, you see, I've been in the forefront of trying to defeat the federal hate crimes bill ever since 2004. And in 2004, the Philly 11 Christians were arrested, and I believe you've had their leader, Michael Markovich, on. And I did play an instrumental role in publicizing that to the world and to the nation. But what I have seen with Jones over the past 6 years is an extreme reluctance, really, to go after the hate bill, to dramatize, encourage opposition to it and work with me at all. He didn't have me on about 4 years ago, but briefly, not extensively, and then again and again. In fact, in the last two Congresses, I have called his office imploring, especially in the last days and moments before votes in the House and Senate and so on, at crucial times when we desperately need massive numbers of patriots calling in. And I can just tell you, it's a waste of time. He will not, he almost invariably will not put me off. Sometimes, like this last spring, 4 weeks before final passage, he put me on for a half an hour. That includes station breaks. I mean, we're talking about 20 minutes total time. But he has a large influence, and the one time I did get on his program last spring, brought in something like 10,000 viewings of the Holder video, in which Attorney General Holder
mm-hmm.
is saying that there's no equality under the hate bill. So he has a very large poll, which he could have been using for freedom, but there's something very wrong there, something very strange, because he has known. I've certainly blasted out my emails enough of warning at these crucial moments in our legislative history when the hate bill was on the line, and yet I've only received primarily silence from him.
And what is your conclusion?
There's something very wrong. He has a.
Well, do you
very,
think that? Do you think he's one of them? Do you think he's a Zionist? Or do you think that he's just corrupted?
I'm not going to go that far. All I know is that there seems to be a lot of misinformation and censorship coming from him.
All right. Well, okay. We'll come back to that point, and then we do want to discuss other matters tonight too, ladies and gentlemen. Ted Pike, my guest, Rick Adams, Uncensored. We'll be right back. TruthTellers.org. We've just been talking about the Alex Jones controversy and his reluctance to jump on the important bandwagon of exposing the head of the octopus here and world Jewry, and particularly Zionist Jewish supremacy. Now, Ted, I had discussed the issue when it first came up very briefly on the program, and also you had come under some attack as well from Michael Hoffman. I think you probably know about that, do you?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, now, he raised the question about you and your relationship to Orthodox rabbis who are vehemently part of the anti-Christian agenda, who believe in the Talmud, subscribe to the Talmud, which you've denounced. And he sort of intimated that it was like the pot calling the kettle black, to say the least. What was your response to him? You didn't put out any direct response, did you?
Well, I really didn't find it worthy of a response because it was so preposterous. You see, I don't have any relationship with Rabbi Lappin. I have never talked to the man. He's never talked to me. But you see, my objective,
mm-hmm.
it has been this for the past 30 years, is to waken the blind eyes of 70 million evangelicals. And the fact of the matter is that the evangelicals have much more respect for an Orthodox Jewish rabbi than they have for me. I mean, the evangelicals practically worship the ground that the Jews walk upon, and so when an Orthodox rabbi goes out on a limb, like Lappin did on Trinity Broadcasting about 4 years ago, he goes out on a limb and he wants to inform the evangelicals that God's chosen people are basically out to get them. This branch of organized world Jewry is in, quote-unquote, relentless attack on evangelical Christians. How could I pass up an opportunity like that to let an Orthodox rabbi teach and get through their thick skulls the threat that is against us when I've been trying for decades to do that and have still failed? And so my motives are strategic and they are good in saying, at least on this particular issue, that the ADL is bad, let's listen to what Rabbi Lappin has to say. And similarly, a year or so ago, I got an email or a call from another Orthodox rabbi down in Los Angeles, Rabbi Shifrin, Nachum Shifrin. And he was extremely excited about my article, which News with Views printed, in which I sounded the first major alarm about the ADL's toxic rage report, in which it was saying that literally tens of thousands of Americans, if not hundreds of thousands of Americans, are active conspirators. And I launched that attack in News with Views, and the owner of News with Views, Paul Walter, was so nervous about it, he wouldn't even put my initial report up on the front page. He put it back in the opinion section. But Rabbi Shifrin rose to that. He said, "This is sensational. I hate ADL as much as you do." And I hate ADL as much as Rabbi Lapin did. So I said, hey, well, why don't you write an article, knowing, again, that the evangelicals would give him tremendous credibility. So he did. He wrote a very powerful article. It was pro-Zionist, but it was also extremely anti-ADL. And for the next four or five articles, which I wrote on News with Views, I did not receive one criticism to Paul Walter on any of the articles, which are all truth, all against the ADLs and so on. And so these two Jewish rabbis, basically, on this one issue, they created a red carpet in front of me, ingratiating me to the evangelicals, allowing me to speak tremendous truth to these brainwashed, programmed people. And so what Hoffman is was trying to say is somehow I have come into an alliance, I have a strange and disturbing alliance with these Jewish rabbis, and somehow that it has compromised, not only compromised me, but I am sending a message that I believe that Orthodox Jews can be trusted or Jewish rabbis can be trusted and so on. Well, that's hogwash. All I'm doing is saying on this one vital issue concerning the threat of Jewish supremacism through the ADL, let's listen to what these Orthodox insiders have to say. And, you know, Christ said, by their fruits you shall know them. The fruits of letting these Jewish rabbis speak out on this issue were very good. I was able and have been able, by making use of this testimony, to awaken many evangelical eyes and literally shine a shaft of bright truth and light and warning into the evangelicals, which would never have occurred otherwise.
Well, it's good that you've said that, but maybe it would have been even better had you put that into a letter, not necessarily a major e-alert, but you could have maybe addressed it for those who were doubting you and suggesting that maybe they were believing Hoffman's...
I did send out a brief letter to a few people who did... were kind of shaken by what Hoffman was saying. Hoffman made some other strange accusations against me. He said that I was boycotting his book. I can talk about that.
All right, hold that thought until we come back, and we might take a call or two too if you're on the line. But for the sake of time, folks, we will come right back with Ted Pike and TruthTellers.org and these controversies. Stay with me, Rick Adams.
We've just been too busy setting up our businesses. We didn't pay enough attention to what was going on around us. We allowed a bunch of thieves and murderers to get control.
And Ted, you were about to talk about some of the other accusations that were made about you and your ministry by Michael Hoffman. Go ahead. You might want to
clear
that.
Yes, well, I think there's just about four more accusations he made, which are all unsubstantiated. He said that on September 6th, I sent out an email claiming that Maimonides was a cabalist. And he says that only he has through his researches, to his knowledge, an intimate understanding of the truth of that. And he says that the fact that I could say that on September 6th revealed that I had basically plagiarized, or I'd borrowed an idea which he had discovered, and then did not give him credit for it. Well, the truth is that on September 6th, I sent out an email which was four years old. My article on the Kabbalah,
yeah.
And I think it's called Kabbalah, the Thorn That Bleeds the Mideast. And in that article, which was 4 years old, there was a reference to Maimonides being a cabalist. But then Hoffman takes off and says this is reveals Ted Pike's ill-intended hypocrisy and shady dealings and all this kind of thing, which is ridiculous. And so what he did was he incompletely read the introduction to that reprint and saying this was 4 years old, claiming that I had written it just a week or so earlier plagiarizing.
Mm.
And then he says that I have been in a relentless boycott against his book. Well, I've had an awful lot on my plate since his book was published. And I've heard good things about it. I think it's very commendable. I think he's rendered a great service to our cause and the cause of freedom by getting all this out in his encyclopedic book. But he has never asked me to promote his book in any way. He in fact specializes in going after me and criticizing me and ridiculing me, basically acting in a way that would incite my resentment. And yet he claims that I have been in relentless boycott of his book ever since it came out. Well, since when is one author boycotting another author's book simply by going about your business and writing your own material and pursuing the cause? Why is my failure to promote another author's book boycotting? I've never said a word to anybody of criticism of Hoffman's book. I've heard good things about it. I hope he sells a million copies. The world needs it. But I'm certainly not involved in any kind of an orchestrated or implied boycott of his book. So this is entirely imaginary. And then he says I refused to, or did not come to his aid when he was evidently boycotted himself by Amazon.com. I didn't know anything about any boycott at Amazon.com until this attack on me came out. And so, again, he has this ability to put out these innuendos that Ted Park has this competitive, rivalrous, the hidden agenda against him, which really is rather paranoid, in my opinion. And then finally he says that I am accusing through harsh attacks that Alex Jones is an Israeli agent. I have never said as Alex Jones is an Israeli agent. What I said is that a very simple thing that Alex Jones has revealed, he has a very great deal of knowledge about the Jewish supremacist threat. He is not speaking the truth. I have no hidden agenda. I would be so happy if Alex Jones did nothing except speak the whole undiminished truth. Mm-hmm. That's my whole goal with Alex Jones.
Well, that's the question, what is there to hide, you see?
And yeah,
that
right.
Question
and so,
has an answer.
Yeah, you see, so I think we've dealt with five accusations by Hoffman here. None of them have any substance whatever. The whole thing was so laughable.
All right,
that
now here's the question for you now. Have you, therefore attempted to set the record straight by personally contacting him to do so?
All of this is such a tissue of fabrication.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Let's straighten it out. Let's see if we can get to the bottom of it and straighten out that thorny issue, then. If you really harbor no problems with him, and I believe you, I'm not doubting, I'm just saying, don't you think that you should personally somehow try to reach him and reach out to him and say, well, what's going on here? Let's straighten this out, because we're all supposed to be on the same side.
Well, that might be worth it, but as I say, I in the week that I could have come out and dedicated a whole email to refuting this, I had two other heavyweight emails. They've been coming fast and furious, as you know, and I just did not even consider it worth answering because it was so ridiculous.
Okay.
All of these accusations are so ridiculous, and it reveals a lack of ingenuousness and a lack of why doesn't he contact me and say, can you give me some explanation? Instead, he goes public, blasting me with five groundless accusations, and it's just so laughable. I just couldn't take it seriously. If you're thinking I should take it seriously, and you think that he is taking this seriously, maybe it deserves an email alert to be sent out.
Well,
I am open to that.
Again, just from the point of view of people who trust you, you know, from the point of view for their benefit, people who trust you. And if you're getting all of this flack, then it seems that the people, if they would like to know if you could possibly set the record straight directly with him, and then the ball is in his court, you see?
Well, actually, I am not getting a lot of flack. I had a total of four emails, and I sent out just a very abbreviated correction to these misrepresentations.
All right. And, well, anyway, I just thought I'd mention that because it is an oddity, and there are some questions about, certainly that Mike Kaufman himself, I've had him on once, not even on the network. I had him on years ago on a local radio station and could never get him back. I've invited him, and I've had problems trying to get him to keep with an appointment. So I don't know. I just don't know what's going on with him. But I think
he has a reputation for being hypercritical and prickly and rivalrous. That's the general opinion. Now, I want to say again that I appreciate very much all that he has done, literally over the decades, to tell truth about the Holocaust earlier in his career and now about the Talmud and so on. I do wish his book would sell a million copies.
Right.
But he seems to be hard to work with and work parallel with other people in the movement without kind of erupting in criticism of them. And as I say, I have had much more important issues and obligations on my plate this last couple of weeks than to devote a big article to him.
All right. Well, that's fair enough. Now, what I wanted to do, because we do have a couple of questions and callers on the line, I do want to give you a chance to just briefly state the latest assault on American freedom. And, of course, there are many in the news today on the Southern Poverty Law Center working with the FBI and Homeland Security, attempting to further ratchet up the cause of chasing down domestic terrorists and domestic extremists. You know, that rings a bell. But I wanted you to take this opportunity to tell us, Ted, about the latest e-alert concerning John Hagee and the world court, Ahmadinejad in particular.
Yes. John L. Hagee, as most of our listeners are aware, is a fanatically pro-Israel Pentecostal television preacher, and he has a tremendous audience of about 100,000 Pentecostals, primarily through the Trinity Broadcasting, a Pentecostal TV network. And he has been involved in not only sending millions, tens of millions of dollars to Israel, funding, in fact, the ultra-Orthodox rabbis over there who are actually persecuting Christians in Israel. But now he is going after Ahmadinejad along with Elie Wiesel and Senator Joe Lieberman and other left-wing Jews, claiming that under the terms of the Genocide Convention, the Genocide Treaty, which was passed by or accepted by the United Nations in 1948, we should indict Ahmadinejad basically for the thought crime of having the intention of wanting to do not only mental harm to the people of Israel and their government, but also to actually annihilate the people of Israel, defame, demonize the Jews, and so on. Now, what I did in this latest article, which people can get at truthtellers.org, is I gave us a little history lesson on the genocide treaty. In fact, most people, even activists in the right today, don't know much about it. It was the work of a Jewish international law expert by the name of Raphael Lemkin, a Polish Jew, who worked closely with the United Nations with the One Worlders, ADL, all those people at that time, to basically create a proto-hate crimes law, which would have international potential for enforcement. And the term genocide, in fact, was coined by Lemkin to describe something more than just a massacre. Now, I have no problems with condemning massacres of vast amounts of people, but I do have a problem with creating a combination definition that involves intention or bias motivation coupled with this intention acting itself out and toward disastrous and murderous means. And you see, what these Jewish supremacists want is they don't want to be content with just outlawing massacres. They want to say that the intention behind the massacre or the intention of doing emotional or mental harm to large groups of people makes it much, much worse. This becomes basically a hate crime. And what Lemkin created in the Genocide Treaty of 1948 was basically an internationally enforced hate crimes apparatus, which Hagee, which Lieberman, and Wiesel and so on are now demanding should be activated to indict Ahmadinejad. They're saying Ahmadinejad has fulfilled the Genocide Convention's definition of incitement to genocide because he has clearly revealed intention to destroy the Jewish people, defame the Jewish people, cause mental harm to the Jewish people, and ultimately annihilate the Jewish people. Therefore, Hagee argues that just as we should have knocked off Hitler in 1933 when he was revealing intentions against the Jews in Europe, so we should basically indict and criminalize and imprison Ahmadinejad today before he has its opportunity to do the same thing to Jews in the Middle East.
Well, that as you know, has been a very sore point, a bone of contention since 1948, and many fought the genocide treaty in the United States Senate. Finally, it was adopted, but with the proviso of the Connolly Reservation to protect Americans from being hauled before the world court. Yet this is used, as you know, by the Zionist Jews and their ilk in America and the world to try to indict people, whether it was Milosevic and others who were accused of having committed these gross crimes, but never was it to be applied to Israel itself.
Yes.
And Hagee, of course, is in lockstep. Really, he's walking, I guess you could say, in goose-stepping fashion with the Zionists, totally on these issues, an apologist for them. And now it's gone beyond that. It's one thing for a preacher to do that, to be walking in lockstep with these Satanists, but it goes beyond that. Now he's actually creating a scenario which could be in the legal arena used possibly to change, as you say, all of the legal protections that Americans have as well, opening up a real can of worms for the Zionist Jews.
Yes, and what I point out is that, you see, these evangelicals, fortunately, I'm very, very glad over the past 10 years I've been hammering the hate bill threat and even the complicity of the ADL in creating hate laws worldwide, and it's gotten through the evangelicals. They pretty much know now that the ADL behind the hate laws, and they know what's happened in Canada and Sweden and so on. But and they're for free speech and for protection of free speech for Americans. But on the international scene, these same evangelicals howl when Ahmadinejad wants to open his mouth in free discourse or explanation in the forum of public discourse on the international level. They don't want him to come to New York. They don't want him to open his mouth in New York. In other words, they join with the Jewish supremacists in trying to enforce censorship upon him. And what I'm trying to say in this article is this is very dangerous because if we join with the Zionists in banning free speech in the international forum, we are basically working against ourselves, because if that becomes tradition, if that becomes publicly accepted, and then sooner or later it's going to be legislated. It's going to be codified into law, and we as Christians ourselves will be the first victims of international enforcement of thought crimes, bias crimes, laws. And so what I'm saying is we as conservatives have, I come from a previous generation of militant critics of the Genocide Convention, which is largely forgotten now. But we as conservatives, we need to do everything we can to postpone and resist any precedents for international thought crimes, hate crimes enforcement, not go out like Hagee, who's now gathered 133,000 signatures to the UN to go forward with the genocide enforcement.
That's another feather in his cap, unfortunately. Good points on this. We're going to take a break right now, and then when we come back, I want to entertain a couple of quick calls. That's about all we have time for on what was said so far tonight, okay, on the program. So we'll
Thank
do that,
Rick.
Folks. Stay with us. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, here at Republic Broadcasting Network. Don't forget to support the network, support the sponsors, and keep the products in your home. Buy the products, buy the services to keep this voice on the air, okay? 800-313-9443, and we will only have time for a couple of calls when we come back with Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. Stay tuned for more of Rick Adams.
Is there to do with thieves and murderers taking over?
Okay, we're back, folks, in the final 5 minutes of this segment with Ted Pike, and we're going to take a call or two. Let me see. We have Joe in Pennsylvania first. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Rick. Hello, Ted.
Yes. Address Ted. Go ahead.
Hi, Ted. I want to thank you because you're one of the few people speaking out against the synagogue of Satan. And that's something that I've always appreciated, you know, the way you speak out against the Zionist so-called Christians. As Charles Carlson has pointed out in the shows that I've heard him on, you know, it's Zionist so-called Christianity. It's a cult. It's not Christianity. Unfortunately, it's very prevalent. It's taught in most of the churches. No, I have no comment on, you know, the situation with you and Michael Hoffman. I don't know about it, and I hope it gets resolved. I know sometimes in the truth movement, the patriot movement, whatever you want to call it, you know, these disputes happen, you know, and I hope it gets resolved. But, you know, the reason for my call is because you're one of the few people who gets it, who has been fighting that. And in that sense, I want you to keep up the fight, you know. You know,
right.
Three words of what's wrong with America today, and it's very pervasive. It doesn't just cover Israel. Synagogue of Satan. The fact that the church, the so-called church, is just so deceived, you know, to even call it the church. I mean, I went to an evangelical church for over 20 years, and, you know, as I went on there, I, you know, began to understand the truth about, you know, supporting Israel. Initially, for a very short time, I thought, you know, they were God's chosen people, and we got to support Israel and Arabs.
Okay, Joe. So basically, you just want to have Ted stay the course, is what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Good. All right. Thank you for that quick call, Ted. so you've got a great supporter here. All right. Let's see if we can squeeze Paul in only very quickly now. Paul in New Jersey. Hello.
Yeah, I have a question about, you know, the patriot movement, and that if we want to be good patriots, I think we should want to do the will of our founding fathers. And one of the things our founding fathers wanted when they passed the Immigration Act of 1790, they wanted all new citizens to be free white males. And so basically the founders wanted this to be a white nation. And I've noticed, if I say this publicly amongst called patriots, I'm kind of ostracized and shunned because I'm making the, you know, our new immigrants and the new Americans who have been foisted by the Immigration Control Act of 1965 upon us and are basically dispossessing white America before our eyes in slow motion. And so by not being white nationalists, I don't believe anybody can really be a patriot.
All right. Well, Ted, do you have any response to that?
Well, if our founding fathers, some of our founding fathers, were so intent on this being a white nation, they should not have brought over and employed as slaves a multitude of black people. And,
well, they were brought mostly by Jews, as we know, though.
Well, whatever. The sins of the father are visited on the children to the whatever generation, and I am not going to deny any person of any race, religion, ethnicity, or whatever, the right to come here and live in America and be a citizen.
So you don't believe in a racial state, or at least that this nation was intended to be white. I think it was founded by white men for white men.
Okay, listen for the answer, because we're almost out of time. Okay.
In general terms, I respect that intention, and I cherish our white Anglo-Saxon culture, but I'm not going to go as far as you're suggesting here tonight.
All right. That's pretty brief and to the point. Ted, I'm sorry we're out of time, but it was a very good hour. Thank you for coming on, and I'm sure you'll be back again pretty soon, okay?
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks again. It's my pleasure. All right.